This episode is sponsored by the Learn Jazz Standards Inner Circle. If your goal is to level up your jazz playing this year and feel confident improvising over jazz standards, the Inner Circle has everything you need and more. With monthly jazz standard studies, a library of powerful courses, and a vibrant community of like-minded musicians, you're guaranteed to improve your playing every single month. Podcast listeners can get 50% off their first month when you go to ljsinnercircle.com. That's ljsinnercircle.com or find the link in the show notes. Now, on to today's episode. All right, my friends, what's up? Brent here from Learn Jazz Standards. Welcome to another episode of the Learn Jazz Standards podcast. I'm here answering your jazz and music questions 5 days a week to help you learn how to play jazz, to have more fun than ever playing music. Today's question comes from one of our Inner Circle members, Caitlin. And Caitlin asked this, I'm wondering what software and tools are helpful for learning and practicing jazz. Okay. What software and tools are helpful for learning and practicing jazz? Great question. So obviously if we have software and tools available to us, we should use them, right? I mean, we aren't in the era of just record players anymore where we have to, you know, lift up a needle, pull it back, listen to, you know, recordings over and over again. We have a lot of things available to us, and I am completely pro using technology to our advantage to learn music, to improve as jazz musicians. So what I'm going to do in this episode is just go over ones that I've used that I think are beneficial, as well as ones that students have also used that is helping them right now. Okay, so let's talk about that. All right, the first one I want to recommend is a category called slowdowners. Okay, now this is probably the most valuable kind of technology or tool you can use for learning jazz. So if there's one you take away from this entire episode, it's this one. What is a slowdowner? A slowdowner is simply an app or a piece of software that allows you to upload a track, like an MP3, or sometimes some of them allow you to, you know, copy YouTube links and other things. And it simply slows down that track for you, or speeds it up without changing the actual pitch, right? Which is really key here, right? It's the fact that you can take a piece of music, slow it down, and it still remains in its exact same key. What's the benefit of doing this? The main benefit and the main use case is for transcribing, or aka learning music by ear, not necessarily needing to notate it, but learning it by ear. So a great example is this last month we learned a bebop head called Cheryl in our Inner Circle membership. It's a Charlie Parker bebop head. You know, it's faster, more angular, a lot of notes in it. And so a great idea would be to, instead of learning it at full speed, just slow it down so that your ear can latch on to those notes faster. And so if you're someone who's brand new to learning music by ear and you've heard that over and over and over and over again that you should be doing that, but you'll feel like it's too difficult, well, a slowdowner can be your best friend. I mean, you can slow it down to 50% or lower if you want to grab notes one by one from your ear and put it onto your instrument. So as far as learning jazz goes, since learning jazz language by ear is one of the best practices you can do, and that would include learning melodies of jazz standards by ear, by the way, a slowdowner is the best one to go to. What are your options? So number one is the just basic old YouTube player. Like if you go to YouTube and you look up any song, let's just say All the Things You Are, you get All the Things You Are track on YouTube, video on YouTube, click the settings icon and you can select if you want to play it at 50%, 75%, I think. There's different intervals that you can listen back to that track, right, without changing the pitch. So that's completely free, right? But more advanced tools would be like Amazing Slowdowner is one slowdowner you can use. Transcribe is another slowdowner you can use. And Songmaster is another slowdowner that you can use. Songmaster actually does a little bit more than just that. Songmaster helps you. You could actually put in an MP3 track there. It will tell you what the chords are. You could even in some cases take out, you know, parts of that track artificially. So like, I want to listen to the bass. You can extract most of those sound waves except for the bass. So it's great if you're trying to transcribe bass lines and stuff like that. So Songmaster is a great tool you might want to consider checking out. So that's the category of slowdowners, probably the most valuable of all the tools for learning jazz, in my personal opinion. Now let's go to the category of backing tracks and accompaniment. Obviously, it's a great idea to have to practice with backing tracks. It's a good tool to have. Backing tracks are a great tool to have just to practice improvising or, you know, just trying things out. Like, it's like the laboratory. You get to work on things, and backing tracks can be a good way to simulate a performance environment, even though obviously it's not the same thing. What are your options? Okay, so obviously there's libraries of, you know, backing track, like the Jamie Abersolds I'm thinking about, right? That you can get. And those are great options too. But as far as software and apps goes that I think are a little bit more versatile, the number one that I would recommend is called Band in a Box. Band in a Box by PG Music. It's a pretty old program. Surprisingly, the interface kind of looks a little bit dated still. I don't know why. They update the program every year, but they don't really update the interface very much. They're just the features. That aside though, it's a great program because you can literally type in the chords to any jazz standard or already download like libraries that exist already of files and input them into the software. So all the things you are or whatever, even if you want to just practice a 2-5-1, just input a 2-5-1 into the software and loop it over and over again or do the whole song, change how many choruses you want to practice with, change the tempo, change the key, change really anything you want to do with that backing track, right? But the real thing that makes it a step above anything else that's on offer there is that they have something called Real Tracks that simulates a real sound of, it's actually real samples of instruments. So for example, if you've ever been on YouTube and you've seen one of the really old Learn Jazz Standards YouTube videos of our backing tracks, those were put up in like 2010 or something like that, like the old ugly green screen with the white ugly old logo, like that's what those are. Those are all created with Band in a Box, right? So they sound like fairly real as far as accompaniment goes. So those are, I would say Band in a Box is probably the best one there. Second to that, and I know one is that's popular is iReal Pro, obviously, right? So there's these public libraries. Of course, people use it for just getting chord charts for jazz standards on the fly and stuff like that. But of course you can also like play like a MIDI playback of that. I personally hate it because it sounds like it's just fake instruments. It sounds robotic, doesn't sound very good. I would say if you're going to use a backing track, at least try to do something like an Abersold or a Band in a Box situation because it's more real instruments, sounds real. But it's something, it's still a practice tool that you can use. So iReal Pro is definitely an option. A really good app to check out is Drum Genius. So if you want to just practice along with a drummer in different grooves and manipulate that as much as you want, speeds, all that stuff, Drum Genius has been an app that I've used in the past that I think is really valuable to check out. So that's a good one as far as accompaniment goes as well. Okay, so that's like the backing track side of things. Another category here would be practicing, like stuff that helps you practice or track your practice and stuff like that. One app that's really great and was a sponsor of this podcast a few different times in the past is called Modacity. So Modacity is really the best way to think of it is like, you know, the Evernote of for musicians, a planning app or an organizational app for musicians. And it's kind of made for musicians to help with their practicing, log practice sessions, so on and so forth. So that could be a good option to check out as far as that goes if you're looking for more organization in structure in your practicing. The next category would be recording yourself. Recording yourself is really important. You've hopefully, if you've listened to this podcast for a while, you've heard me preach this before. Record yourself often, listen back, analyze it, audit yourself, make adjustments from there. Really important thing to do regularly. And so honestly, when it comes to that, you don't need anything fancy. Just a smartphone is perfectly fine because it's not about getting like a really great studio recording. It's for practice purposes and analyzation purposes. So when in doubt, just use the recorder built into your smartphone. Like that's more than enough. But of course, there's like free programs like Audacity is one of them that works just fine. And then if you want to do more advanced DAWs like Pro Tools and all that stuff, like obviously those are up for grabs, but mostly it's just a, you know, using a tool like a smartphone or a very simple piece of software to record yourself is really, really important. Last but not least, this one's probably, in my opinion, the least important for learning jazz specifically, but still can be a helpful tool, and that would be some kind of music notation software. And the reason I say it's the least important is because, in general, I don't really think that like transcribing solos is something that should be like a main practice, right? A lot of times when musicians throw around like, oh, transcribe solos, they're actually just talking about learning it by ear. That being said, like notating out exercises that you want to work on, or if you like creating lick libraries and stuff for referencing later and all that stuff, notation software is still a great tool to have even for outside of jazz. So the one that I use is Finale, but there's also Sibelius. And honestly, I don't really know that one is super superior to the other, but one that I know that a lot of my members use is called MuseScore. So that could be another good resource. And I could be wrong. That one might be free, but go ahead and check that out. I know that there's like for more specific for guitar, like Guitar Pro is one. But these could be handy tools to have if you like to use music notation as a tool, but I definitely wouldn't say is completely necessary for learning jazz or 100% the most helpful. All right, my friends, that's all for today's episode. Remember that knowledge without action isn't really knowledge at all. Remember that lots of practice isn't near as good. It's just a little bit of really good practice time. And of course, as always, make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Share the show with a friend. They'll be thanking you, and I'll be thanking you too. And until next time, which is tomorrow, we'll see you in the next episode. Cheers. Hey, podcast listener, would you like to ask me a jazz question and get it answered here on the show? Then go to learnjazzstandards.com/ask. That's learnjazzstandards.com/ask. I look forward to hearing your question and answering it on a future podcast episode. learnjazzstandards.com/ask, or find the link in today's show notes.